We want to continue. You know, we've been doing a series. You know, if we could just close up shop this morning, we would be able to do so. But I believe that the Lord has a word this morning. But how many of you have been touched this morning during our worship service?
Amen.
Amen. That we don't have to wait to the end of the service, right? We can, whenever God wants to move, that He can. And that's one of the things we want to do, is allow the Holy Spirit to have room enough to move and do what He wants, yeah, to have His way when He wants to. And that we get out of the way so that He can have His way. You know, when we get out of His way, then we all get blessed, right? Because this is not a man's thing, right? This is God's thing. This is all about Jesus, and He orchestrates everything. And when He does it the way He wants, I mean, everyone gets blessed. And you come out better than you came. Praise God. And that's the whole idea. So this morning, we want to continue on part three. And the title of this series that we've been doing is Creating an Environment for the Miraculous. Creating an environment for the miraculous, right? And if I wanted to subtitle this, I would say where God's power flows. See, the power of God doesn't flow everywhere. How many of you know that? The power of God will only flow where people are believing for it. The power of God will only flow where people are calling out for it. Amen. See, the power of God is always available. Miracles are always available. There's no seasons of miracles. When you're talking about God, God is a God of miracles. Amen. But we have to create an environment or an atmosphere by which the miracles of God can flow. Amen. And when the atmosphere or the environment is up to His standards, then He puts the thumbprint of, this is where I can move and this is what I can flow into. Amen. You know, God will never move in a place where there's disharmony or there's disunity. Amen. Because God is a God of order. The Bible says how blessed are brethren who dwell in unity, right? In harmony. Because in that atmosphere of harmony, of unity, if you read on, it says that God releases or He commands a blessing in the midst of that atmosphere of unity and harmony. He doesn't send a blessing or release a blessing in an atmosphere of disgruntled, angry, divided Christians. He cannot operate in that kind of atmosphere. But He sets the standard of what kind of atmosphere that He can flow in. And we get to cooperate with that, and we get to create an atmosphere that is conducive to His presence. Amen. You and I, we set the tone. We set the atmosphere by our attitudes. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, the praise and worship is not here to pump you up. You know, I remember being an engineer at Kapalua for many, many years. We had swimming pools. One of my jobs was to manage all the swimming pools. And some of these swimming pools have these sand filters, and they have pumps. Pumps that circulate the pool, so it keeps on circulating. But anytime you open the pump or you open the filter, air goes in, right? And then when you put everything back, you got to get that air out, because the pump will not work. You know, the pump will just not work the way it's supposed to, because there's air in it. And you can hear the motor just whining because it's straining, because there's air in it. So what you have to do is, there's a little knob. You open the knob, and you fill the water up, and it blows out the air. You hear the air is blowing out, and then all of a sudden you see a stream of water. Then you know all the air has been, you know, taken out of the system. Then you turn it on, and then you don't even hear the motor. But by doing that, you it's called priming the pump. You got to prime it up so that it can run. But praise and worship is not to prime us up so that we can be ready to experience God in a service. You need to prime yourself up before you come here. While you're at home, prime your pump so that when you come in service, you hit the ground running. And when God tells you to do something, you're not trying to figure out, is that you, God? You already know, because your pump is already primed. You know, Sister Janie tells me she comes at 8 o'clock. She comes 8 o'clock here every what, Sundays? What she's doing, her and James. Well, service doesn't start till 10. Why is she coming 8 o'clock? She's absorbing the praise and worship and everything. Amen. Pumping, priming herself up to ready. Amen. So we're talking about creating an atmosphere for the miraculous. Now, if you remember, we've been talking about how that we as believers can create an atmosphere, right? For the miraculous power of God to manifest. Amen. How many of you believe in God for the power of God, the miraculous, to manifest in your families, right? Your families, your relationships, your finances. Amen. In our church, the power of God manifesting in our church, right? And even for your own personal life, with your relationship with God, you know? That God wants to bring an increase in your life pertaining to Him. He wants to bring you into places that you've never been. And that's a miracle as well. But you know, how many of you know that is not always up to God, but we have a part to play in that? And as you remember, I don't know if you remember, I had shared a couple weeks ago, and I have it printed in the back, of how that while praying in the spirit, tongues, that these words begin to flow out of my spirit. And I believe it was a word from the Lord for us as Faith Family Maui. Amen. And that word, that if you have your recent bulletin, it was also printed in your bulletin. But what it says, what I felt the Lord saying to us as a church is that there is a supply of the Spirit, a greater flow, a mighty flow, a strong flow that has been made available. Notice that. That has been made available. So step into it, tap into it, this greater flow, thirst for it, hunger for it, believe for it, and position yourself for it. Notice that. Notice that there is a greater flow of the Spirit that has been made available to us. And God's saying for us to position for it. How many of you know if you're out of position, you won't receive it? That He's saying to position for it. And how do we do that? Faith will position you to receive it. Amen. Faith will position you to receive it and to tap into this greater flow of the miraculous. Amen. That God is a God of miracles. Church, there's a greater flow of the miraculous that has been made available to us. But how many of you know when God is emphasizing something, He's telling us, He's preparing us of what He's wanting to do. Amen. So that we can also prepare ourselves and do our part in believing Him for what He's wanting to do. Amen. Because He's wanting to do this, but if we don't do our part, then we won't benefit from it. He's wanting to do this, but when we begin to do our part, amen, believing for it, tap into it, hungering for it, thirst for it, that's our part. Amen. Positioning ourselves for it in faith, that's our part. And then you'll see the miracles begin to flow easily. Amen. And then a week later, that Sunday that I wasn't here, I was invited to go to Living Way Church and participate with their ordinations up there. And that morning while I was praying, the Lord gave me another word. And I thought that word was for Living Way Church. So I wrote it down, and thinking that it was for Living Way Church. And throughout the services there, I just waited for the opportunity, but no opportunity presented itself. So I kind of like just shined it off and says, I forgot about it. I just forgot about it. Until a couple of days later, I was going through my iPad and I came across it and I said, oh, that's right. That's right, Lord. You gave this to me. So I began to read it. And when I began to read it, I felt like the Lord impressed me. That wasn't for them. This was for you, for us. I go, oh, okay. So let me read this. And he goes on, he says, there's a flow of the miraculous, which is a strong flow, a greater flow, a mighty flow, causing an overflow of the supernatural abundance of the provisions of God. Notice that. In fulfilling the vision with the supply and the resources to bring the vision into fruition and into reality. So you might say, what is this superabundance of provision for? Right? He just told us. In fulfilling the vision, right? In supplying the resources, in bringing this vision into fruition and into reality. So what God is saying is, I'm providing this provision for all of you, for the vision. See, a vision is only a vision. But when God adds the provision to it, amen, this vision becomes a reality. See, God is the one who orchestrated, so he's the one who's going to finance it, whatever in your life, right? Transition has taken place, and things have been set in order. Therefore, a spiritual shift of acceleration has begun. We went from fourth gear. How many of your cars, you get fifth gear? Overdrive. Things have just shifted. Things that have taken a while will suddenly manifest supernaturally. Expect the suddenlies of God. Just as the disciples who waited in the upper room praying in one place in one accord for the promise of the Father, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole place suddenly. Suddenly the provisions of God will manifest supernaturally from this flow of the miraculous. The drought is over, the spirit of death is broken, and the overflow of abundance has been released. I said, the drought is over, the spirit of death is broken, and the overflow of abundance has been released. Amen. God is waiting for your response. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this flow of the miraculous, Father, the abundance of provision, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true, Father God, that you're not a God that you should lie, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the drought is over. Whether it's a financial drought, a spiritual drought, Father, it is over. The spirit of death has been broken in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the overflow of abundance that has been released, Father. And Lord, I receive, Lord. I receive. That should have been your response this morning. That should have been your response. I receive, Lord. I believe I receive, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You see, that's how we tap into. That's how we tap into the miraculous flow. By saying, Lord, I receive. I believe I receive. I don't know about the person to my right. I don't know about the person to my left, but I receive, Lord. I receive your word today, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. It's a time for miracles. Miracles are either coming towards us or moving away from us. I don't want miracles passing me by. I want everything that God has for me. Amen. And I'm going to respond by faith. Lord, that's mine. That belongs to me. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that blind Bartimaeus, he was blind. He sat on the side of the road. Amen. He was blind. Listen up, church. Blind Bartimaeus sat on the side of the road. He was blind. I don't know how long, but many years. Amen. But I read that when somebody lacks an ability, his other abilities are heightened. Although he was blind, his ears begin to heighten. He was able to hear much better. He began to feel the ground. And this particular day, he began to sense on the ground that there was more activity than the norm. There was more people.
Come on, come on.
Because he didn't know that Jesus was en route to where he was. He could feel that there's a lot of people. Wow, something's happening. And he began to hear some things about Jesus. Amen. He was blind. He had a need, right? And knowing that Jesus is coming, the Bible says he began to cry out loud. He wasn't crying, you know, crying of tears. He was crying of desperation. Amen. There's a certain cry that God hears, and that's the cry of faith. And that's the cry of faith that he was saying. Jesus, Son of David. He was crying out loud. And you know, there was people around him that were saying, hey, hush, keep quiet. Jesus doesn't want to hear you. And when we heard last Wednesday, right, Pastor Nancy says, you know, the very ones who are not crying out, they want to stifle you. They want to stifle you from crying out. Right? They want to hold you back. But you know what? Blind Bartimaeus didn't care. Because he had a need. He was desperate. We sang about desperate this morning. And he knew that his answer was en route towards him. And he began to cry out. He began to cry out for his miracles. His miracle was Jesus, Son of David. Amen. And finally, the very ones who told him to keep quiet came to him and says, hey, the master wants to see you. Wow. Notice what his cry did. It gave him an access for the flow of the miracle. Amen. And we know the story. He was healed, completely healed from his blindness. Amen. What did he do? By crying out to God, he created an atmosphere of faith. How many of you know faith will stop Jesus in his track and change his direction towards you? Amen. Faith is attractive to him. He responds to faith. Praise God. He created an atmosphere. And Jesus says, that's the atmosphere that I like. And this is the atmosphere which the miracles can flow out of me. Amen. And he was healed of his blindness. Praise God. Amen. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you walk right in the middle of a conversation or being at a gathering and all of a sudden things get really quiet, right? Things get weird, things get awkward. And you get a sense that people there may have had a spat or they might have had an argument of some sort, right? That ever happened to you? Yeah, I think it all happened to all of us. And you say to yourself or to someone later, man, the air was so thick that you could cut the knife with it, right? And what you're saying was you sensed there was an atmosphere, but a negative atmosphere that created a negative environment. How many of you have been there? Yeah, you just know that something's not right, right? I remember flying to Pittsburgh. Pastor Carl guys had flown earlier, a week ahead of me. And because of my work schedule, I flew a week later. And left from Maui to Oahu and Oahu to Dallas. And on my flight to Dallas to Pittsburgh, Oahu to Dallas, I sat by a gentleman. He had a window seat. But just by his demeanor and his appearance and his posture, it told me that he created this atmosphere. I don't want any conversations. Don't even talk to me. He didn't even say a word. But he created this atmosphere that I don't want to talk to nobody. You could just feel it. What did he do? He created a negative atmosphere. And you know what? I thought to myself, I don't want to talk to you anyway. Go and be your miserable self. Praise the Lord. So we can create an atmosphere. You know, we can create an atmosphere, a positive atmosphere, right? An atmosphere of sacrificial praise to God, right? It's a sacrifice because everything within you, you know, when you're faced with a situation, a problem, a circumstance, a trying, a heartache, you know, a betrayal or a loss. You know, it's hard in our natural sense to praise God, right? We all been there. We all know that. And that's why Paul calls it a sacrificial praise. It's being able to lay your situation aside and say, God, despite of what I'm going through, despite of what I'm facing, all the emotions and all the heartache, Lord, I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to praise you anyway. And that's a sacrificial praise to God. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. He enthrones the praises of his people. So what sacrificial praise does, it creates an environment, an atmosphere for God to show up. Amen. To show up. That he's a present help when we praise him in time of trouble. Amen. In times of uncertainties. We can praise him for all the wonderful things that he's done, right? Or just to worship and to lavish on him for who he is creates an atmosphere, an environment for his presence, for the miracles to flow. And thanksgiving. You know, just being thankful. Just being thankful for no other reason at all. You know, we don't have to have a reason why to be thankful. Just because. Just because. Just because he's God. Right? Just because he's God. So creating an environment by which the atmosphere is conducive for the miraculous power of God to flow. This is something I desire, and I pray that this is something that you desire as well. You know, how many of you know that we don't have to live in an atmosphere of depression? No, in an atmosphere of oppression or turmoil or negativity, fear or worry or doubt. But you know, we can experience And we can create an atmosphere of heaven here on earth, which is God's presence, God's glory. Amen. Within and around you, by the miraculous power of God, His anointing flowing and touching hearts and changing lives. We can create an atmosphere. Amen. Wherever we are, whether we're in church, whether we're at the doctor's, whether we're in our families, whether we're driving in our cars, we can create an atmosphere that is conducive to the presence of God. Amen. You know, there was one woman's life that was touch and change, talking about touching hearts and changing lives. And in the Bible, there's many instances, but particularly one, a woman's life was touch and change. And it is found in Mark chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. And this particular account talks about a woman with an issue, right? How many of you know God can set you free from whatever issue you're facing? It can be a physical issue. It can be a mental issue, an emotional issue, a financial issue, a relationship issue. But God can touch you and heal you and deliver you from those kind of issues. But this lady was faced with an issue. And her confession was, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Notice that. What is she doing? She's creating an atmosphere through her believing. She says, I believe that if I can just make it to Jesus, if I touch his garment, I will be healed. What she's doing, she's creating an atmosphere of believing, an environment for faith, of being healed by her words. And that's how we release our faith, through our words, right? And this particular woman, I'm just going to paraphrase the whole thing. She had an issue for 12 years. How many of you know 12 years is too long to be suffering from an issue? Amen. It was a bleeding condition. And this condition depleted her of all her finances on treatments from, the Bible says, from many doctors. She sought help. And to no avail, right? In fact, her blood issue got worse. Praise the Lord. So now, not only is she financially broke, she's worse off than before. And on top of that, the Jewish law of those days was that if she, having this blood issue, she was marked by society as unclean because of the blood issue that she had. And that if she touched someone knowingly and unknowingly by accident, they would be unclean as well, pertaining to this law that they had instilled. So notice all the different things that are opposing her, right? She's broke, financially broke. She's weak. She's sick. And on top of that, there's this law that deems her to, as society, as being unclean. Amen. How many of you know that she was desperate? What is the saying? Desperate people do what? Desperate. Amen. And that's what she did. This woman with the issue of bleeding for 12 long years was in desperate need for a miracle. Amen. She was so desperate that the Bible says that she pressed through the crowd to get to Jesus. Regardless of what the law said, she pressed through the crowd. And it's interesting that Her target was to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Not to touch Jesus himself, but the hem. Knowing that, right, she would contaminate him. So she targeted his clothes. She was desperate. How many of you, when you're desperate, you got nothing to lose? Especially when you're desperate for Jesus. You got nothing to lose, but all to gain when it comes to Jesus. And the Bible declares she came behind Jesus in the crowd. Notice she came behind and she touched the hem of his garment. Because she thought, if I could touch his clothes, I will be healed. And notice, as soon as the woman touches Jesus, her ailment, her bleeding, her issue immediately stops. Boom, it stops. Instant. Jesus does what no doctor could do for her in 12 years. And I'm not against doctors, right? We always mix faith with medical science, right? We mix our faith. In an instant, she was healed. How many of you this morning need to get healed from issues that has plagued you long enough? I think we all can raise our hands. There's a flow of the miraculous for issues to be resolved in your life once and for all. Amen. And upon her touching Jesus, Jesus immediately responds and says, "Who touched me?" Notice that. I mean, he was in a crowd, right? There was a multitude of crowd pressing against him, the Bible says, touching him. But he stops and says, "No, somebody touched me different. Everybody's pressing on me, but somebody touched me." And despite of all the commotions and all the movements that was going on, he stops because he knows. He knows that somebody's aggressive faith has touched me and pulled a miracle out of me. Yeah, somebody pulled a miracle out of me. The Bible says virtue, power left his body because somebody pulled it out of me. Amen. See, many people were pressing on him, but only one woman touched him. She created an atmosphere of faith. She put her faith into action. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. How many of you know she had to get up? She had to get up in her weakness and move towards her miracle. Yeah. Faith has corresponding action. Your faith has to have action. Believing is one part, but corresponding action to what you believe put things in motion. And she got out of bed. Put her clothes on. And her thought was, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to Jesus. Amen. And now she gets to Jesus. She's standing by Jesus, and there he is. And she moves behind him and touches his hem. And the very thing that she was confessing, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed, happened immediately. Why? Because she created this environment of faith that when I touch him, that was my contact of faith. And she pulled that power out of Jesus, that flow that was in Jesus, she pulled it out for her miracle. Amen. See, if you need a miracle, you got to do our, we got to do our part. We got to believe, right? Activate our faith and have corresponding action. I'm going to close this. Remember, on one of the Wednesday evening nights, I ministered, and I talked about certain metals that were conducive for electrical wires than others. You guys remember that? Such as silver, copper, copper, or even gold. Because these metals are what they call good conductors. Everybody say good conductors. They're good conductors for electrical current to flow through. And that's why they're favored as one of the best metals to be used as conductors. Because these type of metals have a higher number of movable, what they call free electrons. And these electrons act as a charge that they act as carriers in the metallic structure, allowing the electrical current to move at a higher speed to flow through these specific type of metals. All right? You guys follow me? And if you think about it, copper is the commonly used metal for electricity because, number one, it's the most cost efficient. Yeah. Amen? Right. You don't see gold wiring or silver wiring, although they're good conductors. Why? Because people will start stealing them, right?
Yeah.
For the gold. So they found that copper is one of the best because, it's number one, it's cost efficient. And number two, it makes a perfect conductor for electricity to flow through. Amen. Now, there's also what they call resistant metals. Metals that are resistant, that are not used because they're not good conductors. Such as zinc, lead, nickel, mercury, to name a few. So they're not used because they're not good conductors. Now, in saying that, the point I want to make is I don't want to be a resistance or a hindrance to the power of God from flowing. Yeah? I don't want to be a bad conductor, but I want to be a good conductor by which the power of God is able to flow through. Right? By creating an atmosphere by which God's power can easily flow through. How many of you can testify to that? I want to be a good conductor. And just as the woman with the issue of blood, you know, how she was a good conductor as well. You know, being a good conductor by which the power of God can flow through as ministers of God. Right? Each of you are ministers of God. And to have the power of God to flow through you so that you can be a blessing to others. Right?
Amen.
Because the anointing, right, this anointing, this power of God, the miraculous, is for others. Yeah, it's for others, to be a blessing for others. And by creating an atmosphere for the miraculous, you know, in your life, you know, there's other things, other atmospheres we can create. You know, there's a whole bunch, you know. An atmosphere of honor, you know, honoring God, honoring people in your life, honoring your parents. You know, the Bible says, honor your parents so that it may be well with you and that you may have long life. You know, when you create an atmosphere of honoring your parents, honoring the Lord with your substance, right? It's a weighty thing. That creates an atmosphere for the miraculous to flow. So all of these atmospheres, honoring and worshiping and praising and giving and being thankful, these are all things that we can do to create an atmosphere for God to move and to flow in. God will never move. You know, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people, right? I said that. God does not inhabit the complaints of his people. God does not inhabit the grumbling of his people.
Right.
Why? Because it's not conducive to his presence, to his glory. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, would you want to be around someone? Right?
That's right?
Right? I wouldn't, in a sense, be around somebody who continually complains or grumbles. Right? And I know God has more, you know, mercy than me, right? But I do know that he doesn't inhabit the complaints and grumblings of his people. But he does inhabit the praises of who he is. coming out of our mouths. Yeah. So there is a supply of the Spirit, a greater flow, a mighty flow, a strong flow that has been made available. So step into it, tap into it, thirst for it, hunger for it, believe for it, position yourself for it. Faith will position you to receive it and tap into this greater flow of the miraculous. And there's a flow of the miraculous, which is a flow, a greater flow, a mighty flow, causing an overflow of supernatural abundance, of the provision of God, in fulfilling the vision, with the supply and the resources to bring the vision into fruition and into reality. Transition has taken place, and things have been set in order. Therefore, a spiritual shift of acceleration has begun. Things that have taken a while will suddenly manifest supernaturally. Expect the suddenness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Expect the suddenness of God. The Bible says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole place. Suddenly the provisions of God will manifest supernaturally. And from this flow of the miraculous, the drought is over, the spirit of death is broken, and the overflow of abundance has been released. Amen. And that's the word of the Lord to us as a church. Amen. You received the word this morning. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are leading us. Lord, you are guiding us and you are leading us, Lord. We're not wandering. We're not wandering aimlessly, Lord, trying to find our way in this world, Father God. But you are guiding us, Father, with purpose, Lord, with purpose, Father. Your purpose, Lord, your will, Lord. And that you're guiding us, Lord. It's your plan, Lord. It's your will. It's your purpose, Father God. And Father, we keep our eyes on you, Jesus. We keep our eyes on you. We keep our eyes on the Word. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, the one who leads us and guides us, leads us into truth, leads us into your presence, leads us into places that we've never been, such as. But the places that you lead us, Lord, these are places that have been provided. These places have been prepared for such a time as this. No greater time than now, than these things are going to be revealed to revelation, to visions, to dreams. Didn't I say in my last days that I will pour out of my spirit, that my sons and daughters, they'll prophesy, my young men will have visions and the old men will dream dreams? Didn't I say that? So why do you stand back and speculate when I have already declared it in my word? This is the last days. We are in it right now. So dream on. Have visions, God dreams. And that there is a flow that has been made available. This flow didn't just spring up. This flow has been purposed. This flow has been ordained before the foundation of the world. This flow was already pre-planned for such a time as this. So, Father, we thank you that we don't miss our visitation of opportunity that you have presented to us as a church and churches. We're not the only church, Lord, that you're making known this. But Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that these things were not hidden from us, but they were hidden for us for such a time as this. We thank you for the revelation that you give us by the Spirit of God. And Lord, let us not be like the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, that when they stepped at the threshold of entering into the promised land, that they begin to look at their circumstances and they begin to look at all the things that were there. But what they failed to do, Lord, was to look at you. But they set their eyes on the giants, how big the giants were, how fortified the cities were, and how small they were. They got their eyes on the wrong thing and the wrong things instead of getting their eyes on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of covenant. And therefore, they did not enter in the promised land. So here I present to you, you stand on the threshold. Do not do what they did. Embrace it. Believe it. Tap into it. Hunger for it. Thirst for it. Believe for it. Because there is a flow for the miraculous. So, Father, we build our faith for it. We grow our faith. We'll do our part, Lord, whatever it takes. Thank you, Jesus.